Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The captivating book, Presidential Maxims, Excellence in Leadership, Volume 1 by Raben Roberson, provides a summary of the life of each U.S. president, highlighting their most enduring traits and sharing insights, reflections, and lessons to learn from the president, characteristics that are necessary for one to possess to be a good leader. Raben has been an award-winning educator for the past 50 years. He was educated in American history at Huntington College, later earned a BA at Ball State University, an extensive public teaching career, multiple selections for inclusion in Who's Who Among America's Teachers, numerous leadership roles in professional organizations, such as the Council on Social Studies Teachers. Raben has also appreciated the lessons of wisdom offered by the presidential lives as he strived to emulate them in his own personal relationships. Raben Roberson, author of Presidential Maxims, Excellence in Leadership, Volume 1, is our guest on This Week in America. Raben, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you very much, sir. I'm glad to have this opportunity to be with you.
This is a fascinating book, a fascinating concept, and I'm really excited about talking about this in the program today. What were the factors that promoted you to write this book, Presidential Maxims?
There are two or three. The first one is centered around my interest in history that I've had since I was in high school. Second one was the teaching experience that I've had over the 48, 47 years that I taught public education, and especially the secondary education classes, and especially U.S. history. And my U.S. history, my degree in MA was earned at Ball State, and my specialty there was U.S. history. It was in that course of those studies that I decided to make a major effort in searching and writing on character traits of the United States presidents.
Well, you've done an excellent job with this. It's go ahead, finish that thought. I'm so impressed with the way you've done this. Finish your thoughts on why you decided to write the book.
This is the only quote that I'm going to actually give to you. I would like to cite what I wrote in the introduction. Please bear with me here, because I think this explains pretty much why I was interested in the book.
Yes.
The one thing that motivated him, me, the writer, was the fact that of all the biographies that he had read, he never encountered one where he felt that their life per se could be emulated by the average person. So he began looking at the presidents and decided that each of them had a special personality trait that could be learned or emulated for the good of that particular trait. This was the background for each of the presidents that was chosen. In other words, the reason for emphasizing the trait or the traits of the individual president. Now, of course, you know that there's a lot of presidents. There are 47, six of them now,
yes.
Right now. But what I did is, with Volume 1, I went ahead and just took the presidents whose birthdays was from January through June. And then Volume 2 is July through December. Now, what I wanted and what I did is I just wanted to focus on one particular trait on each one of the presidents. And then a little other tidbits that I really loved about each one of the presidents. So that was the format of the book. And because I wanted to give something to the readers, something that they themselves could apply in their individual lives. For example, the first one that I chose that came to my mind or or when I, before I started researching the book, with George Washington. George Washington, obviously the very first president, has had a lot of biographies written about him. And one of the most outstanding characteristics that he had was he felt that he wanted to be his greatest title. He felt that the greatest title that he had wanted to be remembered by was the title of an honest man. He wrote that letter to Alexander Hamilton, I believe, at that point. That's where we got the source. So I chose honesty for George Washington. And then after that, I went ahead and followed the sequence of their birthdays to the end of July. For example, in January, we had four different presidents. In January, we started out with Millard Fillmore.
Yes.
Fillmore. Excuse me. And I chose for him the duty, honor, country. And now I don't think he got it from the U.S. Military Academy, because they have almost the same motto. But he was stressed. I wanted to stress with him duty. Secondly, in January, there was Richard Nixon. Now I chose for Richard Nixon how to come adversity, because adversity was, to him, was overcoming immeasurable personal things.
Yes.
that transcended itself in politics. So, you know, when he was defeated by Kennedy in 60, governor of California in 62, and then he went on. He went into a rebuilding time for building his political life. 68. Then, as you obviously know, he became president. But after that, of course, we all know the story. So I'm not going to go any further than that. But he certainly was a personified being able to overcome adversity. Thirdly was William McKinley. William McKinley was one of my, for the average reader, probably a good example of what we can become, because everybody has some kind of sense of religious values. McKinley had a couple traits that with this trait, where he really spent his wife Ida was a person that had physical and mental conditions, and when William McKinley would have his day in any of his, was specifically when he was governor, he would come out at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. He would take the napkin out of his pocket, wave it to his wife who was looking out the window, and signifying to her that, you know, I love you, dear. I'll see you later. And then when he was also involved in various political activities, when he would go to these banquets, he would always take Ida with him.
Ah,
and if there was something that would happen in Ida, he would stop whatever he would do, and then he would put a handkerchief over Ida's face, because he knew exactly what some kind of the symbols were. So he would then, you know, kind of take the situation and wait and see if it would be get to the point where he could take it back off and then resume his speech or whatever he was doing.
Yes.
There at that particular time. So that was another antidote, that his religious convictions are trading. And he always said, every man or woman can have some kind of good effect with religion. It should have said religion can help every man or woman.
Oh, yes.
Period. Then you got Franklin Roosevelt. Franklin Roosevelt is the last one in January. I use being flexible with Franklin Roosevelt because he was probably the most successful of any of our presidents in getting himself elected. He was the epitome of being able to experiment with different things on a different level. And he would always have A, B, or C plan involved. And she would say about him, if he found out that something doesn't work, then he would go to the next step. And then she also said that Franklin always felt that he could find somebody that could help solve the different problems that he was facing as the president of the United States. So flexibility, I chose flexibility for Roosevelt.
Yes.
For Franklin Roosevelt.
You know, that's,
in February, go ahead.
No, finish that. Question. In February.
In February, of course, we had Reagan, Ronald Reagan, the communicator. And I chose for Reagan to be an excellent communicator, both not only orally, but in written. And Reagan was in the first part of his administration, he was pretty good. But in the second part of the administration, of course, we know he had some problems. And because he had some problems, he was a sick man. And that tended to color his second administration. I don't want to go into anything more. I want to get back on the traits. Okay, so I chose for Reagan, be a communicator. Have both oral and written communication to be ready to use in your own individual lives, because it can be a very important trait in being an effective leader.
Boy, it works so well for him, and I love the concept of taking these traits, using them in your life. We think of these people as almost superhuman beings. I'm not sure anything they do I can do in my life. And you show in the book Presidential Maxims that it's true. It's something that you've tried to emulate throughout your life. Our guest on the program, Raymond Roberson, that's Roberson, if you're Googling, book available at Amazon, all the usual places. Presidential Maxims, Excellence in Leadership, the good news. This is volume one, meaning soon there will be a volume two. And boy, the time is going by so quickly. How long did it take you? You've done extensive research. And then once you did the research, you had to go back and pull out the traits that you wanted to focus on. How long did it take you to write volume one of Presidential Maxims?
The actual writing took about 2.5 years. It was interrupted because of the death of our second son. We lost our first son
who
was in the United States Army in 2005, and then we lost our second son in 2018. So I started around in 2017, and then I had a recess, and then I picked it up, and the actual writing was about 2.5 years. In the making.
When you were writing this, and you've been working at volume two, when will volume two, we've talked about that, when will volume two be available?
I'm hoping that next spring, by June of next spring, I'll have the second volume to have it out there. Because one of the things that I've found is a lot of the people that I come in contact with, they like the whole overall idea, but they say about, well, Ray, how about Obama? What did you choose for Obama? I said, well, I chose hope, but I don't have Obama ready yet. it's in volume two. Okay, it's in volume two. And they say, okay, all right, in volume two. So I decided I don't want to press a whole lot because it seems like there are more people are more interested in, if they're interested in presidents, they're interested in the live ones as opposed to the dead ones.
I can remember
one of my friends said, he's dead. don't worry about it. He's dead. Forget about it.
But we can still learn about it. You know, these are people that we talked about in history, and you make them come alive in Raymond's book, Presidential Maxims, Excellence in Leadership, Volume 1, book available Amazon, the usual places. We'll go through that before we wrap up our conversation today. What was maybe your favorite president, alive or dead? As you were going through, you've got Volume 1 done, working on Volume 2. You've studied these people extensively throughout your entire career. Any favorite, living or dead, that would go to the top of your list if you were to list your favorites?
Quickly, just two. I only have two. One is living is Jimmy Carter. Carter, I think he has the epitome of what we want in a leader who is, that is left, who is, he made his contribution, but after he left office, he done a lot of good things that we as average people can do that he did, like the housing. What's the name of that housing project?
Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah, Habitat. Yes. And he has probably made Habitat what it is today. And it's, it's a big here, especially in Houston. How about in Florida? Is it big in Florida?
Yes, a lot of chapters down here that are carrying on the work that, he publicized. I mean, seeing him out there even a few years ago in his 90s out working on a home for somebody.
Right. Absolutely. Right. And just what he's done with his foundation. Now, the other presidents have had foundations, but they still do. But his is kind of a working foundation as opposed to the others. The others are more of a prosperity thing, legacy thing that they ascribe to do, but they don't completely do the same thing that Jimmy Carter does, or that he did. Now, he's now almost completely inactive now, but his Carter Center has did a lot for establishing peace between various adversaries in the world, and he's also eradicated a lot of one or two diseases in South Africa or in Africa that has helped, eradicated, save people's lives. That, to me, is things that we as individual readers and individuals can do also in our own lives, in our own spheres. He definitely was a peacemaker. He definitely was a peacemaker, and that's the trait that I gave Jimmy Carter. Now, the other one is the ones that have passed away. I want to be careful because there's, this is being broadcast all over the United States, so I'm going to have to be very careful. But Teddy Roosevelt, in the first part of the 19th century, Teddy Roosevelt was probably the LeBron James or the Michael Jordan and et cetera in the speaking area, but even in the publishing area. Before Teddy Roosevelt became president, he had written almost 30 books on his own. And he was, as his daughter would say, the bride at every marriage and the bride at every marriage and the corpse at every funeral because he wanted to be, he was always such an action person, until he came back from Africa after he left, after he came back from his African experience. He almost lost his life over there in Africa in that particular session. So he began slowing down. But it was to be active. And I used the whole themed action in my whole two volumes because I repeated that motto or theme throughout. There I put four units of the book in sections of the book in units, and then I would put the different quotes on action in each one of them. So I would emphasize action for any of us. We all have to active. If we don't stay active, we're going to pass on. And that's another thing that I was thinking about when I was writing the book or going to write the book was the fact that when I was approaching the retirement stage, I wanted to do something that is bigger than yourselves. And Harry Truman always said one of his mottos was, of course, the buck stops here. But also another important thing is get involved in an activity or in a goal that is long ranging. That is that you can lose yourself in the goal. And as you lose yourself in goals, you get rid of selfishness. And you know how much selfishness in this world has caused so many problems. So many problems for us all. So we need to overcome selfishness. That's a thing that we need to overcome. And you can't do it if you're always thinking about yourself.
These are traits that all of us can emulate. And you say that you've done that in your life. Is that, I've got about a minute left here. Is that the biggest takeaway you hope when people read the book? They're fascinating stories. You bring these people alive. I love history when it comes off the pages of the book and we can actually feel like we know who these people are, and you do that in Presidential Maxims. Is the takeaway that, some of the traits they had, we can have as well?
Yes, that's the whole focus of the book. Absolutely. That was the reason I wrote the book. And we can come back to this one thing that I wanted to quote. And you're going to recognize this very, very quickly, because I think it's also a very important thing we can still work with as readers and as citizens of the U.S. I have a dream that my four little children will someday live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the contents of their character. Character is the thing that I've highlighted in the book. I've used those presidents to work with character. Many of them had the same traits, obviously, but still, I wanted to focus on just one single one for each one of the presidents, because I thought that we can learn something from everybody. They don't have to be presidents. We can learn something from everybody.
Yes,
because everybody has the capacity. It's just like Lincoln had said, God made so many common folks, he must have loved them. And that's true. That's the way most of us are. Most of us are pretty common.
That's a great way to end the program with that quote from Lincoln. And it's something we all should embrace as we go through life with our eyes wide open and seeing what traits others possess that we can pick up. The book is so well done. Raymond Roberson, that's Roberson. The book is Volume 1, Presidential Maxims, Excellence in Leadership. Raymond, I mentioned available at Amazon. Where's the best place to pick up a copy of Presidential Maxims?
It's in Amazon or Noble's and Book. Yeah, or Noble's and Barnes right now.
Yep.
That's the best place. That's the best place, yes. Right.
You can remember those Barnes & Noble and Amazon places we think of for books. Go there. And, of course, you can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Raymond, a pleasure having you on the program. Love talking about Volume 1. Looking forward to talking about Volume 2 in the coming months. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
You as well, Raymond Roberson, R-O-B-E-R-S-O-N. The book is Volume 1, Presidential Maxims, Excellence in Leadership. Book available at Amazon. Of course, information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.